Let's talk about dying. Now, I know that to many of us this is not a pleasant subject, and we don't want to even think about it, let alone talk about it. But I'd like to talk about dying. The Word of God talks about dying. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14, it says, "We must needs die. And we are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again." Job wrote in chapter 7, verse 1, "Is there not an appointed time to man on the earth? I shall sleep in the dust." Job wrote again in chapter 14, verse 1, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth as a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not." David wrote about it in Psalms 89, 48. "What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall man deliver his soul from the grave?" Paul wrote about it in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And he said, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." The Word of God talks about death. We ought to talk about it. God's Word talks about it. And then the seasons and nature talk about death. Spring comes and we see life beginning to bud. We see the little flowers begin to poke their heads out of the ground. And we see the buds on the trees, and then the flowers begin to bloom on the fruit trees. And then summer comes along and gives us the full bloom of life. There are the flowers blooming, and there's the fruit on the trees, and there's our corn and tomatoes and potatoes and vegetables all growing. But after a few weeks, you begin to see spots on the leaves. What's happening? They're dying. You begin to see brown spots on the flowers. What's happening? They're dying. You begin to see these marks on the vegetables and the fruit. What's happening? They're dying. And then winter comes, and like it is right now, nothing out there is alive. It's all dead. It's all dead. So the seasons talk about death. These things wither and die. There's death all about us. Isaiah 40, verse 6 through 8 says, "All flesh is grass, and the beauty of man, the glory of man, as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. The Spirit of God bloweth upon it, but the Word of God abideth forever." Man's not going to abide forever. We've got to die. The seasons, nature, talks about dying. And then you've got a message a lot closer home than even the Bible on your coffee table or the trees out in your yard. Your body's talking about dying. Your body's talking about. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that the first eight verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the seventh and eighth verse says, "Man's going to his long home and the mourners go about the streets." But those first seven verses talk about the weary body, talk about the failing eye, talk about the ear not being able to hear, talk about the graying of the hair, the wrinkled brow, the empty chair. What's happening? What's happening to you? You're dying. Your body is dying. Your body is delivering to you a message. You're dying. God's Word says it. Nature says it. The seasons say it. And your body says you're dying. And what fools we are not to listen. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ told the story one time about a rich young man. Young man. I guess he was in his 30s, late 20s. But he was a wealthy young fellow. He just had everything he needed. In fact, he was lying on his bed one night, and he had so much he didn't know how to use it. He was lying there thinking about all of his barns that were everyone full. And he said, "I know what I'll do." He said, "I'll just tear down these little barns and build me bigger barns. And I'll have more room in which to bestow my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And God came to him that night and said, "Man, you're a fool. You're a fool. This night shalt thy soul be required of thee. And then, who shall these things be that you've accumulated?" Oh, yes, our bodies tell us we're dying, and God's telling us we're dying. And my subject is one upon which it is impossible to say anything new. It's all been said. It's been said again and again and again. But you know, the sad thing is, the problem is, it's been said, but it hasn't been heard. Now that's the whole problem. Now, death's not uncommon. Death's not unusual. Pick up your paper in the morning. You'll never pick up a Huntington or Ashland or Ironton paper or Charleston paper without the name of someone being in the obituary column every day. From the time Abel died under the hand of his angry brother, every son of Adam has died. Death's not uncommon. Death is not unusual. Since Adam, all men have died, but men won't listen. They won't listen. The Scripture says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." But who's hearing? We're saying these things, but nobody's listening. I guess Amos put it as simply and plainly and powerfully as it's ever been stated. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. All for ears to hear. All for eyes to see. All for a heart to understand. All for a mind to grasp the things that God Almighty has written. All for the sense, for the spiritual sense, to set my thoughts on things above, not on the perishing, decaying, vanishing things of this world that Solomon called vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Let's talk about dying. And let's not only talk about it, let's think about it. And let's not only think about it, let's consider it. Now, I'm choosing for my text today Job 16:22. I recommend that you read it with me. Job 16, verse 22. Job says, "When a few years are come, when a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return." Now, there are four things suggested here. Number one is this: the person, the certain person referred to. He says, "When a few years are come, I shall go. I shall go." Now, we all of us recognize that all men are mortal. We know that. There's no argument there. I needn't spend any time on that. We know all men are mortal. We know also that all men must die. And we know that, don't we? We know that all men must go to the grave. All men. Now, I'd get no argument there. But we're slow to learn and slow to realize that I must die. This is what Job is saying. He's not saying in a few years all men must go the way from which they shall not return. He says, in a few years I shall go. Oh, for a heart that makes personal application of what God says. Personal application. Now, I'm acquainted with death. Most preachers are. Some more than others. As a pastor, I have buried many dear friends. I've been pastor of the same church for 27 years, almost, 27 years. And in that time, I have buried many good friends. I'm acquainted with death. As a son, I have buried both my father and my mother. And as a family member, I have buried my only brother. And as a father, I have buried my 21-year-old son. I have buried many of my close friends and loved ones. And in these experiences, God has taught me something. He has taught me that these have died, and he has taught me also that I must die. I must die. It's certainly true that we do not really believe anything till we experience it. Isn't that right? We don't really believe anything till we experience it. But I'll tell you this, and I speak frankly from my heart, not only from the Word of God, not only from an aging body, but I speak from my heart. I am expecting God's summons. I'm looking for that call. I'm listening for the day when someone says, "The Master's here. The Master's here. And he's calling for you." Do you believe that could happen to you tonight? Do you really? Do you believe that actually the Lord might come this very day and say, "The Master's here and he's calling for you"? You and I ought to be brought to the place where we expect death. No, I'm not being morbid. I'm stating truth. I'm stating fact. Actually, my friends, it's amazing we've lived so long. Someone said one time, it's amazing that a harp, speaking of the human body, of so many strings, stays in tune so long. There's so many things that can happen to this body. It's actually a masterpiece, how wonderfully the psalmist said, I am made. But also, it's a fragile thing. The least thing can take it away. And it's not amazing, my friend, that we have, that men die. It's amazing to me that men live as long as they do. There's so many ways to die. There's so many things to call us away. But you know, to the believer, death is gain. It's not loss to die, it's gain. I'll lose an old body and get a new one. I'll lose a life of sin and gain a life of perfect holiness. I'll lose pain and gain eternal happiness. I'll lose the prospect of death and gain eternal life. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Why do we hold on to this valley of tears? And why are we so reluctant to let it go? Why do we cling to this old frail, suffering, sick, sorrowful, dying, bleeding, weeping, frail body? Why do we hang on to it so long and so hard when God has a new body waiting on us? Why, if this earthly tabernacle, this tent be dissolved, we have a building, a house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, but made by God. That'll never weep, that'll never know sorrow, that'll never know pain, that'll never know tears. But yet we just hang on to this old earth and hang on to this old life and hang on to this old body. To die is gain. It's gain for the believer. And I'll tell you, if it ever comes to the place where I expect to die and expect God to call me, I'll begin to live. I'll begin to live with a peace and a joy and a happiness that I never knew. When I'll quit fearing the future and put it in the hands of the Lord. When I'll quit fearing death and rest in Him. When I'll quit fearing calamity and trial and just rest in Him, I'll find some happiness. Some happiness. All right, the second thing now. We talked about that certain person. I shall go. Now let's talk about that certain journey. I shall go. Man goeth to his long home. Now listen. When the day comes for God to take me away from here, there is no power and no force in heaven or earth or hell that can prevent it. I shall go. That's what Job says. In a few years, I shall go. Not I might, perhaps, I shall go. I've heard about death, now I'm going to experience it. That day's coming. I've heard about the grave, now I must lie down in it. I've heard about judgment, now I must face it. I've heard about eternity, now I must enter it. Let me ask you to do something right now, and I'll do it with you. I ask you to place yourself in this position right now. The hour's come. God's determined hour is here. The instrument of death is revealed. In just a few moments, I'm leaving this earth. How will it fare, the prophet said, with you in the swelling of the Jordan? If that hour was here right this moment, some things that were important are of no value now and no importance. And some things that I've neglected, some things that weren't of great importance, are now of the greatest importance. Isn't that right? You know, when we come to die, somebody says, was he old or young? Well, what difference does it make? Somebody says, was he rich or poor? Well, what difference does it make? Now, it makes a lot of difference to people. Age and youth, we talk about it a lot. It makes a lot of difference to people while they're living. But when I come to die, what difference does it make? I know wealth and possessions make a lot of difference to a lot of people. But when that hour comes, naked I came into this world, naked I shall leave. Somebody says, was he famous or unknown? Well, John Kennedy is dead, and that old tramp that died on the streets of Dallas that day down by the waterfront, he's dead too. They're both dead. The whole world knew one of them, and nobody but a mother knew the other one. But they're both dead. And you know what matters now? Well, it's not their wealth and not their fame and not their strength and not their education and not their power. You know the sole issue in the hour of death? Did he know the Lord? That's about the size of it. When a man comes to die, about all that's important is this. Did he know the living God? Did he know Christ Jesus? Are your sins forgiven? Do you have a Redeemer? You know, Job said that. He knew he was going to die. And he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And on this earth he shall stand. And though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'm going to see the Lord. Not another, I myself, I'm going to see the Lord. All the fine things about our fame and our goodness and our works and our position and our wealth melt like the frost before the morning sun in the hour of death. These things don't matter. All of our great experiences and all of our knowledge that leads us to believe that we're somebody of some great account, when we come to die, they're of small account. Death reveals the truth about us. Death blows away the chaff that we thought was wheat. When a man comes to die, he looks as a sinner to the mercy of God. And that's all he is. He may be a rich sinner or a poor sinner. He may be an old sinner or a young sinner. He may be an educated sinner or an ignorant sinner. But when a man comes to die, he's just a sinner looking to the mercy of God. That's all. He must look as the guilty to the grace of God. Dying men want reality. Dying men care nothing for sham professions and emotional religion and flimsy hypocrisy and numbers in Sunday school and all these other things. Dying men need a Savior. Dying men need mercy. Dying men need an atonement. Dying men need a ransom. Dying men need a mediator. Dying men need a Redeemer. God doesn't need me. I need Him. I desperately need Him. And I need Him in the hour of death. Usually, men die as they live. That's right. Usually, men die as they live. If they live seeking the Lord, they'll die seeking the Lord. If they live trusting the Lord, they'll die trusting the Lord. If they live seeking mercy, they'll die seeking mercy. If they live calling on God, they'll die calling on God. And if they live in a fellowship, in a relationship with a living Redeemer, they'll die in that fellowship. I shall go. Now here's the third thing. We've seen that certain person, I shall go. We've seen that certain journey, I shall go. In a few years, I shall go. Now let's look at that certain hour. In a few years, may not be that long. You know, some of us, I wonder, maybe myself, maybe you, but I wonder if we might be reading this in a few days. You reckon? You reckon I'm reading that to you today or to myself? In a few days, I shall go. It could be that I'm reading it in a few hours. But this I know, whether it be a few years or months or weeks or days or hours, that day is determined by the Lord. I'm not a fatalist. I believe in a living God. I believe in an almighty God. I don't believe in fate. I believe in God. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe luck has a thing in the world to do with my life. I believe God has a whole lot to do with it. I'm not superstitious. I think we ought to discard all these old superstitions and all this use of the word luck here. Lucky. Wasn't he lucky? No, sir. He was blessed of God. God had mercy on him. I don't believe in luck. I believe that our lives are in the hands of a sovereign God. And the Scripture says that that day of my death is determined by my Heavenly Father. In Job 14, verse 5, David said that. He said, 1,000 will fall at your right side and 10,000 at your left, but it won't come nigh you until God sees fit. But Job wrote in chapter 14, verse 5, seeing man's days are determined, the number of his months are with the Lord. Thou hast set his bounds. You know what bounds are? Boundaries. That's far as you go. Thou hast set his bounds. He cannot pass. Now, my friend, listen to me. Would you listen to me a minute? rather than upsetting me, this gives me great comfort. The fact that God has determined my day of death gives me great comfort. That's why it makes me happy, gives me peace in my heart. You know why? Well, here's the reason. If I'm God's child, by faith in Christ, by His mercy, I shall not die until God's appointed time, which will be for His glory and for my good. Because He said all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And if God has set the day of my death, my bounds are set, the number of my months are with the Lord, I'm His child, and the day I die will be for His glory and my good. It will also be for the good of all concerned in my death. That's right. I need not be concerned for any of these things when the all-wise Heavenly Father has planned it for my good and His glory. Let it come. Any extension of that time would not be for my good. If God says, this day's for my good, the next day won't be. This day is. God has planned it, all of it, from eternity past. It's all in His hand. And that day, whenever it is, it's but a short time off. That Job was using the right words. He said, in a few years. Not many years, not long years, but in a few years. So I'm saying this, if there's a work to be done, let's do it. The night cometh when no man can work. If there's a gospel to be preached, let's preach it. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You know not what a day will bring forth. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Be busy about the master's business. Be a good steward of the grace of God. If there's a burden to be borne, bear it. It won't be for long. If there's a salvation to seek, and there is in Christ, seek it. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Nobody in the grave seeking the Lord. Nobody at the judgment seeking the Lord. Nobody in hell seeking the Lord. People who are seeking the Lord are seeking the Lord right here on this earth. Yes, sir. Abraham dwelt in tents, and so do we. You living in a tent, and I'm living in a tent. It's a frail tent. It's a falling tent. It's a fading tent. But Abraham looked for a city. Do you? The hour's coming. And now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now the fourth thing, and I want you to listen carefully to me. We've seen that certain person, I shall go. We've seen that certain journey, I shall go. We've seen that certain hour in a few years. Or months, or weeks, or days. Now that certain realization, and He said, and I shall not come back. I shall not come back. My friends, I shall not return to my home. The example that I set before my children and before my wife, if God calls me away tonight, it's set, it's fixed, I can't change it. The attitude that I've had around my loved ones in my home, it's fixed. There's no changing it. The way that I've treated my family, my loved ones, my children, my wife, it's fixed. The way I treated my parents, it's fixed. I shall not return. I shall not return to improve on it. I shall not return to change it. It's all over. One of these days, I'm going to walk through that door, and I'm not coming back. That's what Job is saying. I shall not return. I'm not coming back to this home to straighten out the mess I've made. To take back the words I've said, to undo the deeds I've done, to change the example that I've set. It's over. It's over. You got another week? Use it for God's glory. You got another month? You got another year? I don't know. Maybe you have. Use it for God's glory. Instead of being so disgruntled and unhappy and complaining and murmuring and finding fault and making everybody miserable, why don't you seek the Lord? And find in Him that joy and grace and new nature and love that He sheds abroad in the hearts of those who know Him. Huh? It's time to seek the Lord. I don't mean religion. I don't mean go down to some church this morning, walk an aisle, and come back just as ornery as you were before you went. I'm not talking about going down and getting religion, joining the church, and coming home just as mean as you ever were. I'm talking about fall on your face and seek the Lord. A work of grace, a new birth, a new nature. Something only God can do for you. No preacher can do it. Only God can do it. Most preachers haven't experienced it themselves. How could they help you? You need Christ. And I'll tell you this, I shall not return to my job or my friends. The memory of me is fixed. I should have loved and helped and understood them while I was living. The words I should have said will never be said. The words I should not have said will never be erased. They are stamped indelibly on their hearts and on their minds. I'm dead now, and I can't change anything. I'm gone. I can change it right now. By God's grace, I can change it. By God's grace, I can be a new creature in Christ Jesus. By God's grace, the old man can be crucified, mortified, and the new man put on the throne. By God's grace. But after I'm dead, in a few days, in a few years, I'll go. And I'm not coming back. And then I'm not coming back to my church. Oh, boy, you can think of a thousand reasons not to go to church. But the day's coming when you won't be able to. You're not going to hear another sermon. You're not going to hear another hymn. You're not going to hear another prayer. You're not going to have another opportunity to seek the Lord. May your prayer be at this moment. Oh, God, help me to be what I intended to be. Oh, God, let me walk with Thee. Oh, God, let me actually begin to be what I expect to be throughout eternity. For the day is coming when I shall go, and I won't be coming back. If you'd like to have this message, let's talk about death and salvations of the Lord, you write to me. They're on cassette tape. The cost is $3. Until next week at the same time, I bid you a very pleasant good day.